Well, not a lot of good news coming out of this one, man. It took a couple of overtimes, but the Sacramento Kings are unable to extend the Minnesota Timberwolves losing streak as the T-Wolves walk into the Golden 1 Center minus Karl Anthony Towns and get the win tonight in double overtime, 105 to 104, in what many of us may feel like that was the absolute longest game of our fandom lives. Welcome into the Sacramento Kings podcast, presented by Hoopball and the Hoopball Podcast Network. I'm your host, Amy Barling, and I thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Hope your holiday season is going absolutely fantastic, because Lord knows there is not much going fantastic for the Sacramento Kings right now. And unfortunately, loss aside, none of the news coming out of this game is good. There isn't a lot of optimism coming out of this game, and I hate to be the perpetually negative fan, but I really don't know what to tell you. If you're a Kings fan, and I assume if you're listening to the Sacramento Kings podcast, that's exactly what you are. I don't know what to tell you about this game. Again, none of it is positive. Sacramento Kings lost De'Aaron Fox in the first 2 minutes of the game to what appears to be some sort of back injury. Marvin Bagley exited the game in the third quarter with what appears to be a foot injury. I'm sure we're going to hear from Luke Walton sometime within the next 8 to 10 minutes, and he'll give us kind of a update, non-update. I'm sure they probably don't have much information on De'Aaron or Marvin Bagley right now, but I'm sure he'll tell us everything is fine and the Kings are working on getting better at certain things and there's nothing to worry about, despite the fact that the Sacramento Kings are now 7 games under 500. In a terrible Western Conference, they have far from played themselves out of playoff contention. This is a bad conference. This is not the conference we thought it would be heading into the season. Right now, you've got a bunch of teams that are kind of bundled up. You see Portland's playing a little bit better right now, but the Oklahoma City Thunder, they lost tonight. San Antonio Spurs haven't quite gotten themselves together like I thought they would, but you know, you've just got a bunch of teams here, including the Memphis Grizzlies, the Phoenix Suns, and, you know, now you got the Minnesota Timberwolves, who headed into this game here at the Golden 1 Center. They had lost 11 in a row. You know, they had been playing the last, I think it was it 5 games without Karl Anthony Towns, and they were able to get the win tonight. They didn't play well. I don't know what to say about this game. Like, let's go to the beginning, because again, we're going to be hearing from Luke Walton here in just a little bit. You go back to the first quarter. You look at De'Aaron Fox exiting the game. Again, 2 minutes in, it looks like a back injury, or, you know, they ruled it back spasms as he was hobbling back to the locker room. That locker room cam, you could see him mouth the words, "My back." It's weird. I don't want to say he looked like he was in pain. He looked like he looked more uncomfortable than in, like, excruciating pain. Like, you know, if you've had that excruciating back pain, you can't move. Like, he looked like he was more uncomfortable than he was, like, in significant pain. But that's easy for me to say watching on TV. Ultimately, you know, I don't know. Hopefully we'll find out here pretty soon. You know, I talked about Marvin Bagley a second ago. Bagley exits the game in the third quarter, but he starts the first quarter playing pretty well, which is something I don't think we've said since Marvin Bagley's returned. He was 4 of 6 shooting, 9 points, 0 rebounds. And, you know, with that said, the offense looks just really messy when Marvin Bagley is out there. Like, look around the Sacramento Kings roster here for a quick moment. What is Marvin Bagley's purpose? And I don't mean that as a shot at Marvin Bagley. We know he's a quality basketball player. But when you look at the scope of this team 31 games into the season, like, go around the starting lineup and ask yourself, like, well, what is Buddy Hield's purpose? Well, Buddy Hield's purpose is create space, hit the open three, hit the open shot. You know, things went south there on that final possession because, again, he's trying to create shots for himself, which is something he's not good at. He was terrible tonight. And Buddy's been terrible a lot lately. And we'll get to that again in a minute. But overall, we know what Buddy's role is with the team, right? what's De'Aaron Fox's role? Like, what is De'Aaron Fox's purpose is out there on the floor? We know what it is. It's to run the offense. It's to penetrate. It's to get to the basket. It's to find the open man. We know what Rashawn Holmes' role is, right? Be the guy who dominates the middle. Even when Nemanja Bjelica is out there, what's his role? Though he's not in the starting lineup right now, what's his role? It's to spread the floor, create some space for De'Aaron Fox. All right. We've got something going here. What's Marvin Bagley's role out there? Right now. I'm not talking about in the long term. I'm not talking about at the end of the season after the All-Star break. I'm talking about right now. What is Marvin Bagley's purpose out there? I have no idea. I know where Rashawn Holmes' purpose is out there. Imagine being the best player on the team. Imagine being, for my money, unquestionably the best player on the team and most consistent player on the team through the first 31 games and being left out of the All-Star campaign. Imagine you see De'Aaron Fox, who's missed virtually the entire season. You have Marvin Bagley, who's actually missed more games than De'Aaron Fox. You've got Buddy Barnes, with no mention of Rashawn Holmes from the Sacramento Kings, in their big All-Star vote push. Now, none of this matters. None of the Kings are going to make the All-Star game. But from like a team perspective, like, you Rashawn Holmes, you're looking at this like, hey, bro, y'all just, like, I'm not here. Y'all couldn't have just, if nothing else, you couldn't have just made it one more player. But instead, you're pushing this narrative of Marvin Bagley. Despite the fact, one, Marvin Bagley hasn't played. And two, when he has, he's been terrible. And who knows what the game would have looked like with him tonight. Because again, he exited in the third quarter. Appears to be a foot injury. He had this, for my money, was his most solid performance of his return. 6 of 10 shooting, 18 points, 4 rebounds. That was in the 20 minutes he played. And again, I thought that he looked really good in the first quarter. But I still can't get a feel for what the offense is trying to do when he's out there. Like, when Luke Walton sends the starting five out there, what is he saying to them before they go out? Is it a, you know, normally when you've got a player who is the definitive best player, it's, you know, hey, let's run some plays for Giannis. Let's get him going. Or let's try to get James Harden going. Or maybe in that case, let's get Russell Westbrook, you know, let's get him some easy baskets first, see how he feels, you know, headed into the second, third quarter. Let's do that. Hey, let's Kawhi, make sure we get Paul George hot tonight. Or Paul George, make sure we get Kawhi hot tonight. Like, with the Kings, like, what is Luke saying when he goes out there? Is it, hey, let's get Buddy some open baskets? Let's try to get Buddy an open look where he can catch and shoot. And maybe he'll knock down a couple of baskets. He's been terrible the last, we've got to be up to like 6 games now that he's been terrible. What do you have, like, I think he had, 10 points? I think he had 10 points against the Rockets a couple of nights ago. I think he's been in single digits a couple of times over the last, you know, handful of games. He had 17 tonight, but don't fool yourself into believing that that was a good game, because it very much was not. He had 10 points against the Houston Rockets. He had 8 points against the Memphis Grizzlies. He's had 7 points against the Indiana Pacers. 14 against Charlotte. All those are losses, by the way. This team is collecting L's at an uncomfortable rate. And you look at the score. It was 105-104 tonight. It was in double overtime. There were 3 minutes and 50 seconds left in the second overtime before a team broke 100. Man, it was all good just a year ago. Man, and I get it. This is a team that's supposed to win defensively, right? That's what we've grasped on, that we've talked about here on this podcast. This is a team that has won basketball games defensively, which exemplifies another problem that the Sacramento Kings have. Buddy Hield has been really, really bad defensively. That break, it wasn't a breakaway layup. It looked like one. It wound up being a wide open layup in the half court offense there in the second overtime. It's because Buddy Hield fell asleep. Everybody saw it. And so if Buddy's not contributing, he was 6. Again, I said he had 17 points tonight. Don't fool yourself into believing that was a good game. He was 6 of 20. And that wasn't even worse than Bogdan Bogdanovic's 8-28. And now I got questions about Bogey. Is there a player on the roster more guilty of falling into the trap of ISO ball when the team is down than Bogdan Bogdanovic? And if there is a player who's more guilty of it, it's Buddy Hield. Because the belief is with you're a shooter, and I think Doug Christie said this tonight. Well, but Buddy can get hot at any time. He can get going. He steps in after not playing. He steps in, what was it, the first overtime or second overtime? I think it was the first one. He steps in after having not played through overtime and even the end of the fourth quarter. Comes in, second, jack up three, hit it. Like, okay, well, now I guess Buddy's going to be the guy. You look at that final possession. That was Buddy trying to create his own shot. Didn't work. He gets bailed out so often by hitting timely shots. And we just ignore the fact that, you know what? Yeah, he kind of stinks right now. And I told you when this podcast started, there's not a lot of good to take out of this. If you've gotten something good, share it with me. I take that back. I'll give you the good note. Let's go positive here because we're going to be getting to Luke Walton's press conference here pretty quickly. It's the guy that we just talked about. The guy who's been the unquestioned best player on the roster. He's the bright spot in tonight's game. And I'm going to tell you about him here in just a few minutes. But right now, I'm going to tell you about mybookie.ag. You want to make your predictions a reality. MyBookie is one of the most trusted in the industry. If you're looking for a sports book that makes some bets for the bowl games, maybe for week 17 coming up in the NFL, or maybe just your basketball games, MyBookie is where you want to go. They got the fastest payouts, best promotions, and a very helpful 24/7 customer service team. Right now, you could use the promo code SAC, S-A-C, to activate their offer. What's their offer, D-Lo? Well, that's easy. They'll match your deposit up to halfway. So if you want to throw in $2,000, they're going to match that up. They're going to give you an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. That's a little too steep for you? No problem. $500. Cool. They'll match it with $250. They'll throw $250 out there, give you an extra $250 to play around with. You can pull your bets together for a bigger payout. You can parlay wagers, let you bet multiple games together. If they all come through, you win big. MyBookie has more lines and better odds for the player than any other sports book around. Remember, use the promo code SAC, S-A-C, to activate their offer. I've got the promo code and a link directly to MyBookie right here in the description of this podcast. So if you're listening, no matter where you're listening, if it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, whatever it is, just go to the description here of the pod, click on that link, and have some fun. Bet, win, get paid. My bookie. Rashawn Holmes has been the best player for the Sacramento Kings this season. He was the best player for the Sacramento Kings once again tonight. 20 points for Rashawn Holmes to go along with his 18 rebounds, and he is a guy that his presence on the floor is very obvious. You see it. You feel it. You hear it. He has an electricity to him that gets the crowd to his feet. He might be the one player on the Sacramento Kings roster that can regularly get the crowd to their feet. He has been an incredible bright spot for this frustratingly dark season for the Sacramento Kings. And again, look at the standings. The Kings aren't where you want them to be, but they're not in awful shape when it comes to, because the rest of the conference is down. Now, at some point, you want this team to be able to get it together, but also at some point, you maybe want a couple of these guys to stay healthy. Let's go to Luke Walton and see what he has to say after this double overtime
loss. Frustrated, but you know, this is what we talk about, and this is where we have to continue to stick together and fight through this and grow as a group. It was hard losing De'Aaron that early into the game, but I don't know if that's what kind of took the life out of us in the first half, but I didn't feel like we were playing with the energy and intensity that I kind of expected to see from our group tonight. I thought in the second half we did a much better job of getting back to that. So unfortunately Marvin went out as well when he started getting it rolling. Had our chances, didn't make the plays, and we'll get back to work, practice tomorrow, and keep fighting and keep getting, you know, keep trying to get better until we can get off this snide.
Katie Hunter, Kings TV. Luke, that last possession, what did you see? Did you get what you wanted? Did you want a different pace? What was your...
Well, I mean, Buddy was... I had hit a couple shots, right? So it's, you know, end of the game. If I draw something up, it's going to be get Buddy open. And let's, you know, at that point, without having De'Aaron in and... you know, Bowie wasn't really making shots down the stretch. We would have just got the ball to Buddy anyway. So, yeah, he's one of our best players, and we get the ball in his hands, and you get a chance to win. That's what you can ask for. It's his call whether, you know, he tries to go to the rim or not. But he's, you know, he's confident in that jump shot of his. So he got a pretty clean look. He, you know, it's nothing different that I would have drawn up in the ATO.
I know that there was, I mean, just seemed like dropping like flies, first De'Aaron, then Marvin. But throughout the game, it kind of felt like it became ISO predominantly offensively. Do you feel like that is just, you know, kind of taking the punches and trying to figure out how to regroup after losing people? Or what did you see with that?
You know, I thought we played a little too much ISO, but I do think it affected the group losing. I mean, we, like I said before, we planned on coming in and playing a certain way this season, and, you know, you lose Fox and Marvin that early, and you got to kind of change things around for the personnel we have. And then we got pretty good at that, and then they go out again. So it's like where we've been shifting back to as far as, you know, playing faster, open up the lane, all those things, you know, those aren't the same advantages for us when we don't have guys like that out there. So I'll look at the tape, see what happened. But, you know, we had plenty of chances, and give Minnesota credit. They knocked down some big shots when they had to, and we didn't. So it's, you know, they deserve the win, and we have to keep scrapping and fighting until, you know, we get our next opportunity, and then we have to be better.
Luke, Sean Cunningham, ABC10. I don't imagine you have any update on either player.
No, I don't. We'll get those tomorrow.
And then second overtime, obviously they go out that 8-2 run. Did you like the composure of your team during that time? Were there things that, I mean, that kind of led to that? Or did you feel it was more issues defensively, offensively?
We had a couple defensive breakdowns. But, yeah, we were fine. I mean, it's the NBA. It's three. We called the timeout. I think we were down 6, and there was 3 minutes, 33 seconds left. I mean, that's plenty of time, and we proved it. We came down, we made a shot, and we got a stop, and we got, you know, Trevor got a steal, and Buddy got a leak out. So, I mean, it's they went on a run, yeah, and we're fine. We answered back and gave ourselves a chance at the end.
Marshall Harris, CBS 13, KOVR. Coach, just where you are right now this season in terms of losing 5 in a row and losing a couple of guys, is your message any different after a game like this, or will it be tomorrow in terms of just trying to get everybody rallied and to where you need them to be mentally, I guess, focused on turning things around?
Yeah, no message tomorrow other than we're back at it tomorrow. We're working. I'm sorry, no message tonight after the game. Bring it in. You know, we'll, you know, people get frustrated after losing. We'll take a look at the tape and go back to work tomorrow. There's no magic to this. It's you know, hard work. It's discipline. It's details. And, you know, that's where we're at right now. We've been through tough stretches before. We started winning. I said we'd hit tough stretches again. I didn't think we'd go in a 5-gamer this quickly, but that's the reality of where we're at right now. So it's up to us as a group to stick together and figure it out and bounce back again.
Luke, James Hamm, NBC Sports. There was a couple of times in that game where you guys went for home runs, it felt like, as opposed to just trying to, you know, get into an offensive set and do something easy. Is that something you need to figure out in going for the three almost every time?
Yeah, it comes with experience. You know, it's rarely a situation where you need a three, right? But it's also, you know, that's where it's you know, nice to hopefully have De'Aaron on the floor with you so you can have the, you know, the either or. I mean, what's you know, Buddy, Bogey, you know, two of our best offensive players are what they're best, you know, they're best at shooting the ball. So they, you know, you get down and you kind of rely on your, you know, what you're most confident in for them, that's shooting. But you know, there's things that we, you know, we can do and should do. Look to get Harrison the ball in the post, slow it down a little bit in those situations. But some of those home run plays were, I mean, for those guys, those are open good looks. So it's balancing that out. But yeah, I thought at times we rushed some shots down the stretch.
Those Luke Walton there. What a great question, by the way, by James Hamm there towards the end of that press conference, asking about trying to hit the home run ball. Perhaps, you know, instead of running the offense, instead of getting into a flow, you would see Bogdanovich control the ball. You would see Buddy Hield control the ball, and ultimately you'd see a missed three come up when if you had just kind of run the possession. I understand what Luke Walton was saying right there. We were never out of it. You know, we'd get down by six. It was with, you know, what do you say, 3.5 minutes? No big deal. They got right back into the game. It wasn't a problem. But I love that question from Hamm, because you think that a lot if you're watching the game. You know, guys come down and just jack up threes when you don't really feel like that. And when you feel like, hey, maybe, I don't know, maybe you go back to Rashawn Holmes in this situation. Maybe you get the offense flowing again. You keep the defense honest, and you put yourself in a position where you just kind of chip away at what's going on there. And that wasn't the case. And I understand what Luke is saying as well. You know, these are decent looks for some of these guys. But I also don't think they come in the flow of the offense. And I think there's a difference between getting a decent look. Like, you look at Buddy's final shot. It was a decent look. But I think you probably could have, in the amount of time that was left, I think you probably could have done more in that situation. You probably could have had a higher percentage shot. The Kings did not shoot the ball well from three. They were 9-39. Like, I'm fishing through the statistics, trying to find something positive to say about the Kings outside of Rashawn Holmes and his consistent good play this year. But they were 9-39 from three-point range, and Minnesota wasn't much better. They were 10-46. In fact, that's not even better. That's worse. Kings shot 23%. The T-Wolves shot 21%. This isn't a game. I mean, Minnesota's going to get the W. We all lost. Like, this was a difficult game to sit through. And then you got De'Aaron going out, and you're like, oh, man, like, okay. All right, Marvin's playing pretty well. I disagree with what Luke said there a moment ago, where Luke Walton was getting going, or excuse me, Marvin Bagley was getting going there in the third quarter. No, he wasn't. Like, he had really gotten going in the first quarter, and most of his production had come in the first half, in the early part of the third quarter. Things had kind of settled down for him when he finally when he exited the game with the I guess it was a left foot injury or left leg injury. One positive to take away, I guess, and it is a positive, is the Kings shot 21 of 25 from the foul line. Not particularly, but probably not the number of free throws you want the team to shoot in a double overtime game, but the fact that they hit 84% is a number that I normally don't see this team get to. So again, I'm fishing for statistics here to make it seem like it's not so bad, but the fact is, this team is 7 games under 500. The fact is, they've lost 5 in a row now. They've lost 5 of their last 7. And you just got to, you know, now you're looking at like, okay, well, what's next for the Kings? You know what I mean? And I don't mean like what's next on the schedule. We know what's next on the schedule. They got the Phoenix Suns coming up at the Golden One Center on Saturday night. And they've got the Denver Nuggets in Denver on Sunday. So they got a back-to-back coming up. And you got a team like the Phoenix Suns, who, you know, they had lost a handful of games in a row. In fact, it wasn't even a handful. Like, it was a good chunk. Like, they're on a 7-game losing streak right now. And now you got the Kings. You know, they just played the Minnesota Timberwolves, who were on 11-game losing streak. Now you've got the Kings, who are on a 5-game losing streak. And just a quick glance at the Western Conference, the Kings' losing streak is the second longest in the conference, and it looks like it's the third longest in the league behind the Hawks, the Suns, and then there's Sacramento there with 5 straight losses. The Hawks have lost 8. The Phoenix Suns, as we mentioned a moment ago, who the Sacramento Kings will play on Saturday at the Golden One Center, they've lost 7. And now we'll wait. again. We'll wait to hear about De'Aaron Fox, and we will wait to hear about Marvin Bagley. And we'll see where this team goes from here. I mean, it's difficult. Like, you know, losing De'Aaron Fox, it's one thing to enter the game without a player. You know what I mean? It's like the Minnesota Timberwolves entered the game without Karl Anthony Towns. They didn't game plan to have Karl Anthony Towns out there. They knew Karl Anthony Towns wasn't going to be a part of what they were doing. It's another thing to enter the game with someone like the Sacramento Kings did with De'Aaron Fox and lose him 2 minutes into the game. You know, I think that's a difference that creates a situation where Luke Walton has to change his strategy immediately. So that's what we'll do, man. We'll sit and we'll wait. You know, we don't do a show on the first night of a back-to-back, so we'll be back on Sunday immediately following the Sacramento Kings and the Denver Nuggets live from Denver. And we've got to get Aaron Brewski here on the podcast pretty soon to see what he thinks about what's going on with the Sacramento Kings here during the season. Got to make some time to get James Hamm here on the show and some other guests. So we'll keep pumping out the content, man. Win or lose, we're going to keep pumping out this Kings content. We appreciate you so much for tuning in. I'm sorry it's not more positive tonight. This was a tough game to watch. I still don't feel like the Sacramento Kings are a bad team. I really don't. I know that sounds absolutely idiotic right now, but I don't think they're a bad team. This felt like two really bad teams playing each other. And Minnesota's in a tough spot. They're playing without their best player. Sacramento was in a tough spot because they lost their best player at the beginning of the game, and then they lost another starter that they expected to be there throughout in the third quarter as well. They had to make some adjustments on the way, and you would think, wow, this team is used to playing without those guys. But I think it's difficult when you have to make an adjustment at the start of the game when you had put in a game plan over the last, you know, day or whatever it's been to get ready for this game, and you had to throw that right out of the window. So we'll see what the update is tomorrow on De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. We'll see what happens when the Sacramento Kings take on the Phoenix Suns on Saturday at the Golden 1 Center. And, of course, we will be back with you on Sunday following the second night of the back-to-back against the Denver Nuggets. Remember to check out my bookie. The link is right here in the description of the podcast. If you're into gambling, use the promo code SAC, S-A-C, to activate the offer. They'll give you up to 50% of your deposit. So if you put in $2,000, they'll give you $1,000 for free. If you put in $10, they'll give you $5 for free, man. That's how it works. That's how my bookie gets down. If you haven't rated or reviewed the podcast yet, if you could just leave the rating, that would be awesome. If you got an extra 60 to 90 seconds over there on Apple Podcasts, you want to say a little something nice about what we're doing here, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Either way, we appreciate your support here of the podcast. Hope you're having a fantastic holiday season. We will be back here Sunday, immediately following the Sacramento Kings and the Denver Nuggets. Kings lose, fifth straight loss tonight to the Minnesota Timberwolves, 105-104 in double overtime. We'll keep our eyes and ears open for what's going on with De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley, and we will see you back here Sunday evening.